So imagine walking past a massive glittering commercial tower in downtown Riyadh. Normally you look up at something like that and think, well, only a billionaire or maybe a massive multinational bank owns that.
Right, exactly. You're just on the outside looking up.
Yeah. But what if for the price of like a really nice dinner, you legitimately owned the 14th floor's corner office? And not as a gimmick, but as a legally binding, yield-producing asset.
I mean, it completely flips the traditional script on wealth generation because for generations, the biggest barrier to real estate wasn't a lack of desire.
Yeah, of course not.
It was a lack of capital. You were either on the outside looking up, like you said, or you were the billionaire looking down. There was no middle ground.
Which is exactly what we are getting into today. We are taking a deep dive into fractional property ownership in Saudi Arabia. And specifically, we're unpacking the resources and mechanics behind platforms like Osul Gamma that are making this possible.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating shift to watch in real time.
It really is. And our mission here isn't just to, tell you that this exists. If you're listening, you're likely always looking for smart ways to build wealth. So we want to decode how this actually works under the
I want
hood.
the actual mechanics of it.
Exactly. We're going to look at the legal and technological mechanisms that allow you to buy a slice of a skyscraper. We'll explore why this specific model is catching absolute fire in the Saudi market right now, the very real risks involved, and how you actually integrate this into a long-term portfolio strategy without getting burned.
Because there are always risks, no matter how accessible it gets.
Oh, totally. Okay, let's unpack this. Because we all know real estate is a foundational wealth builder, but let's be honest, the traditional barriers to entry are just steep.
Very steep. I mean, it goes way beyond just the down payment,
Right.
The upfront capital is the obvious hurdle, like saving for 20 years just to get a seat at the table. But the secondary barriers are just as prohibitive. If you buy a whole property, you are essentially buying a second job.
Oh, absolutely. Fixing toilets, dealing with tenants.
Exactly. You are dealing with maintenance, chasing down late rent, managing tenant disputes. It's exhausting.
Right. And for a learner who is already working, say, a demanding full-time job, becoming a part-time landlord isn't just exhausting, it's a completely inefficient use of time.
Yeah, it really is.
Plus, you have the massive concentration risk. I mean, if it takes every rile you have to buy one specific apartment in one specific neighborhood, your entire financial destiny is tethered to that one building.
Which is terrifying when you think about it.
It is, because if the neighborhood loses its appeal, or, I don't know, the building needs a massive structural repair, you take a devastating hit.
Exactly. You lack agility. And that is the structural problem that fractional property ownership solves.
So how does it actually solve it?
Well, at a high level, it is a shared ownership model where you, alongside hundreds or even thousands of others, buy a fraction of a single income-generating property.
Okay, so it's like wanting to invest in a wildly successful bakery.
I like this analogy,
Yeah, right. So instead of having to buy the entire building and the ovens and manage the staff yourself.
And waking up at 4 in the morning to bake.
Exactly, waking up at 4 a.m. Instead of all that, you just buy a specific slice of the business, and that slice pays you a percentage of the daily croissant sales.
That is a brilliant way to frame it. But what's fascinating here is how the legal structure actually isolates you from the management nightmare.
Wait, but shared ownership isn't exactly a brand new invention, right? Like, pooling money has been around forever, so why are we talking about it like it's a revolution today?
That's a fair pushback. The concept itself isn't new, but the accessibility is what has radically changed. It has drastically lowered the barrier to entry for first-time investors.
Okay, so having established what it is, let's talk about the where and the why. Because Saudi Arabia is the absolute epicenter for this boom right now.
It really is. The timing and the geography are just deeply intertwined here.
Yeah, the source materials highlight some massive macroeconomic factors driving this. You've got Saudi Arabia's economic diversification under Vision 2030, rapid population growth, and just monumental infrastructure development.
Right. Entirely new cities, logistics hubs, and commercial districts are being built at a staggering pace. It's a total transformation of the physical landscape.
And with that comes a massive influx of multinational regional headquarters moving into places like Riyadh, bringing expat workers who need housing, businesses that need commercial space.
The underlying demand is incredibly robust. But while the physical landscape changes, the psychological landscape of the investor is shifting just as rapidly.
How so?
Well, the new generation of young Saudi professionals and the expatriates living there, they have entirely different financial expectations. They aren't just looking for wealth.
Right, they want it to be easy.
Exactly. They grew up with one-click access to global stock markets on their phones. They are demanding greater accessibility, portfolio diversification, transparent structures, and zero management responsibilities.
Yeah, the deep dive we did into the article, Why Fractional Ownership is Growing in Saudi Arabia in 2026, really anchored this for me. It showed exactly how this timeline is playing out right now.
It's the perfect storm of tech and demand.
But here's where it gets really interesting. If I'm a young professional in Saudi Arabia right now, how do I know this isn't just a trendy financial fad?
That's a valid concern.
I mean, is this an actual wealth-building tool or just a shiny new app feature with good marketing?
It is absolutely a fundamental shift in strategy. It allows young investors to participate in real estate now rather than waiting decades. It basically hacks the time value of money.
Okay, break that down for me.
Think about the traditional path. You might need 15 years of aggressive saving just to accumulate a massive down payment for a bank. For those 15 years, you are sitting on the bench.
Just watching property prices go up.
Exactly. While you save, the property prices potentially outpace your savings rate. Fractional ownership gets you on the playing field on day one.
Oh, wow. So if you have a few thousand rials, you can deploy it immediately.
Yes. And that money starts earning a yield and starts compounding a decade before you could have afforded a whole property.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so I understand the macro landscape, but let's zoom in on the practical macro level details. Let's get into the mechanics of the money. How does the cash actually flow, and what are the realities of the risks?
Let's look at the two primary engines of return that were highlighted in the text.
Right.
The first is cash flow, which is derived from regular rental income. If you own a fraction of a commercial office, the businesses leasing that space pay rent.
And then, according to the article, How Rental Income Works, through fractional property ownership, after they cover management fees, the profit is distributed to the fractional owners.
Precisely. That is your steady defensive yield. And the second engine is potential property appreciation.
Meaning the long-term rise in the property's value? If the neighborhood explodes in popularity over 5 years.
Exactly. When the property is eventually sold, you capture that upside.
But this raises an important question. Wait, I think you actually mentioned this when we were prepping.
Yeah, this raises an important question, and it's from the crucial, important considerations section of the text. Past performance does not guarantee future sustainability.
Right. It's so easy to look at historical data and see a beautiful straight line going up and to the right.
But that's not reality.
No, let's be real. Properties sit empty. Pipes burst. What happens during a vacancy period, or if property values just fluctuate, how does an investor actually protect themselves from these very real risks?
That is the single most critical thing to understand. Successful investing isn't just about chasing opportunities, it's about evaluating them.
Okay, so what questions should we be asking?
You must ask. What type of property is it? Where is it located? What are the occupancy levels? And what macro factors influence its future performance?
Yeah, it seems like the best defense against market risks is aligning the property type with your personal goals.
Exactly. The Sources Guide on Residential versus Commercial Fractional Property Investment lays this out perfectly. They react to economic cycles very differently.
Let's map that out. Say, I want defense. I want steady income even if the economy dips.
Then you would likely lean toward residential fractional ownership, like an apartment complex. Because shelter is an essential human need. Even in a downturn, people need a place to live.
So the income is generally more resilient?
Yes, it's a defensive play for capital growth and steady income. But if you want aggressive yield, you look at commercial property.
Like a logistics warehouse, where businesses sign 5 or 10 year leases.
Exactly. But the risk is binary. If a large corporate tenant goes bankrupt, it might take a year to find another business to take over that massive space.
During that vacancy, your yield drops to zero.
Exactly, which is why evaluating the opportunity is so crucial.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, moving from single asset risks, how do we integrate this tool into a holistic long-term portfolio?
Well, real estate moves in long cycles. It requires patience. The ideal balanced portfolio mentioned in the source is a mix.
Right, a mix of real estate, equities, fixed income investments, and cash reserves.
Exactly. Real estate is the shock absorber for your net worth. It has a very low correlation with the stock market.
And this brings us to Osul Gamma, the platform mentioned in the text that actually facilitates these investments. because they really focus on transparency, accessibility, and investor education.
They do, and that education piece is vital.
But crucially, there's a major legitimacy marker from the text that we have to talk about. Osul Gamma's offering is currently being tested within REGIA's regulatory sandbox.
Yes, the Real Estate General Authority. This is a huge deal.
It really is. It's basically the government creating a fenced-in, highly monitored environment to test this fractional model with real users under their direct supervision.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, platforms prioritizing education, like offering the fractional property ownership in Saudi Arabia, Complete Investor Guide are shifting the focus from short-term market movements to sustainable wealth building.
So what does this all mean? We've talked about how easy it is to get in, how the apps and the regulations make it frictionless. But does making it this accessible cause people to skip doing their homework?
That is the ultimate paradox here. Yes, you don't need extensive experience anymore, but you absolutely must understand key principles.
Right, because if I can buy real estate with three taps on my phone, the temptation is to treat it like a meme stock.
Exactly, and ignorance in real estate is painfully expensive. You have to understand property fundamentals and diversification. Knowledge is the ultimate confidence builder.
So true. Well, to wrap up today's deep dive, we've seen how fractional ownership is really breaking down the massive capital walls of traditional Saudi real estate.
It's totally democratizing the entry point.
Yeah, allowing for diversified, professionally managed portfolios without the headaches of direct ownership.
Or the terrifying concentration risk of putting all your money into one building.
Exactly. And whether you are a young professional prepping for your very first investment or someone looking to balance out an equities-heavy portfolio, this is a highly accessible tool that respects your capital and your time.
It really gives you back your time.
It does. But before we go, I want to leave you with a final lingering thought that builds directly on the source material's premise. The text points out that real estate is a, quote, tangible asset that is often easier to understand than complex financial products.
Because it's physical reality. You can touch the brick.
Right. But here's something to chew on. If fractional ownership allows you to build wealth without ever seeing the property, dealing with a tenant, or holding a set of keys,
yeah,
does it fundamentally change our psychological relationship to property? I mean, when real estate becomes as abstract and liquid as a number on your screen, do we lose that traditional connection to the physical world?
Oh, wow. That is a fascinating question.
Right. Or have we just evolved to the ultimate friction-free version of wealth building? It's something to think about the next time you walk past a skyscraper and realize, you know, you might actually own a fraction of it.
I love that. It's a total paradigm shift.
It truly is. Well, thank you for taking this deep dive with us today. Keep questioning the mechanics behind the money, and we will catch you next time.